Thank you, Jose. Good morning to each of you. It's good to see each one of you here. I'm thankful that you've come to worship your God and have this fellowship that he has prepared for us this day. And I welcome those who have come on live stream as well. I was given this message. The things that I do, I like working in the yard. I was cutting the trees and doing that. I'm always visiting with the Lord, and he gave me this thought. What is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel? And you're going, where did that come from? I hope and pray that I can present this by the power of the Spirit of God that you might understand why he said it, and if it's and it's an application in the day that we live. So let's get started with that. This particular verse comes out of Ezekiel 12:22, and we'll be covering that later. I'm going to give us a little history lesson dealing with the prophets. These are the primary prophets of Israel during from King Saul to Zedekiah, which was the last Judean king before the collapse, as you see, 586 BC. So these were the names: Samuel, Nathan, Elijah, Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, Micah, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and Ezekiel. So why did I put that there? It's because that's how the Lord worked with Israel through his prophets. And the kings received messages and different things by the power of these prophets. They were anointed by these prophets, and they were warned, and it was how God communicated with the children of Israel. What we have today is the power of the Holy Ghost. Do we have these gifts? Yes, they are. And that's an important aspect of this as well that I'm going to be talking about, is because we've been given different prophecies. In fact, our church being restored was a fulfillment of a prophecy. And the whole point of what I'm trying to put forth was that statement about that proverb that Israel had. And we'll talk about that later. So God's labor with Israel. Now this is back in 605 BC. This was a turning point in Israel. And we find the prophet Jeremiah 25. You had already had the northern kingdom had been separated from Israel. And so Jeremiah 25:1-2, it says, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his reign. So in prophecy, you find throughout the scriptures that there are these things that we should look for. And one is something of this nature, where the prophet gives a specific time as to when the prophecy was given and its relevancy. So when was that? Well, Jehoiakim, king of Judah, his reign was 609 to 598. And so we know it was in his fourth reign, so we have a kind of a good idea, right, as to when this was going to be. And then Nebuchadnezzar's first year of his reign was 605 as well. So we know when the prophet was speaking and its relevance to the people at the time, okay? And so what does he say? The which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah, to all the inhabitants of Israel, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year The word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. So we see that when he's talking, he's got a timeline, and then he said, when he began his speaking. So he says, well, the 13th year of Josiah. Josiah happened to be a good king at the time. And so we find that his was at 640 to 609. So in 627, the 13th year. So he's counting his time then, what he's emphasizing. So that there was 23 years that he had been speaking to them. Over that period of time, he had been warning them. He had been telling them of the things that were going to happen to them throughout that period of time. And the Lord had sent unto you all of his servants and prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. Now, from 605 to that 627, there was quite a few kings that have ruled over Israel, but we also find that many of them were very wicked. And the people went astray, following other gods and pursuing their own desires. And that's why the prophets were warning them throughout that period of time, the long suffering of the Lord, 23 years. This is when I spoke a couple of weekends ago, I brought some modern prophecies. One in 1980, that was the crossroads. So how many years has that been? 45 years. And what do we think about those things that God gives us? And how have we used those things that God has spoke to us to help us in our life? Help us to understand that God knows the day and time that we live, the struggles that we're having, and where he would like us to be, and the changes that he would like to see in us, each one of us. So the historical events from 605, you had the Babylonians invaded Judah. That was the first time that in that first year of his reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he came there and he came as an occupier. Jeremiah was imprisoned. He'd been prophesying, and the people said, no, we've had enough of him. We want to get rid of him. He was imprisoned. And Daniel is taken captive during that time. Then we had another. In 597, a very short period of time later, the Babylonians captured Jerusalem. This time, that deportation was more serious. Zedekiah was set up to be a king. He was set up by Nebuchadnezzar. And Ezekiel is taken captive into Babylon at this particular time, and then he started prophesying. 593, he was given a prophecy to preach to Israel, those that were in captivity. And guess what? Wait a minute, where did this guy come from? He's not in the Bible. Lehi began to prophesy in Jerusalem. That's Lehi that you find in the Book of Mormon. His family and them lived in Jerusalem. And in 597, he began to prophesy. And then he was given a commandment to depart into the wilderness. Have you ever made that connection? So you see these two waves from Nebuchadnezzar comes to destroy, to fulfill the prophecies that Jeremiah and the different ones were speaking of. Okay, you're not going to listen to me. Okay, now you're going to pay the price. They were going to be exiled for 70 years. That was a prophecy against Israel. And it finally came about. So let's look at Nephi and the family in Jerusalem at this time. First Nephi 1 and 3, we find it says, "For it came to pass in the commencement," first year of the reign of Zedekiah. Well, now we know the date, right? "King of Judah, my father Lehi, having dwelt at Jerusalem in all his days, and in that same year there came many prophets prophesying unto the people that they must repent, or that great city, Jerusalem, must be destroyed." That was what Jeremiah was pointing out. For 23 years, he was pointing out their sins and telling, "Hey, you need to repent, or it's going to happen." Four through five of 1 Nephi, we find that Lehi prays for his people, the people there that he grew up and lived with in Jerusalem. "Wherefore it came to pass that my father Lehi, as he went forth, prayed unto the Lord, yea, even with all his heart, in behalf of his people." Do we do that for one another? When we come for a prayer service, is that in our heart and mind to pray for those that are not there, that are struggling in the spirit? What is our responsibility? What does God expect us to do? Those who are faithful in that sense. Do we want to be like the people of Israel and shrug it off? "And it came to pass as he prayed unto the Lord, there came a pillar of fire, and it dwelt upon the rock before him. And he saw and heard much, because the things which he saw and heard, he did quake and tremble exceedingly." I'm reminded of another incident. It's in Exodus, the 13th chapter, verse 21. It says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light to go by the day and night." And there's other places where that pillar of fire, where Christ was in there, and he saw what the Egyptians, and the Egyptians saw him, and they became frightened. I just thought it was interesting, wanted to add it to this story here. That's how God worked. You think Lehi didn't know those stories of Moses? Yes, he did, and he believed them. And now he saw the very thing that his forefather saw. So do you believe that you could do the same? That through your faith and your diligence in prayer and fasting and desiring good for your brothers and sisters and those around you, that God can't work mightily to give you a dream or a vision? You know, that's going on in other countries within our body of Christ. I brought a couple things to you the last time I stood before you in the Philippines, but I've read and heard those testimonies in among our people in Mexico and in Honduras as well. Do you believe that that can happen? And do you believe that it's for our good? And that God loves us enough that he will warn us like he did the prophets of old? As we continue in 1 Nephi, he received a vision after that one incident. He received a vision. And it came to pass that he returned to his house at Jerusalem, and he cast himself down upon the bed and became overcome with the spirit and the things which he had seen. Being thus overcome with the spirit, he was carried away in a vision, even that he saw the heavens open and thought he saw God sitting upon his throne, surrounded with numberless concourses of angels, in the attitude of singing and praising their God. So do you think this can happen in modern times? We have a testimony of somebody that had a similar vision. Do you know who I'm thinking of? Do you? The very one that was given the authority to record this book, Joseph Smith. When he wanted to know which church to join. And he came before God in a matter of prayer, mighty prayer. And he was told to join none of them. And that was the beginning of his walk with the Lord. So yes, it can. Don't shorten God's power and ability to do those things. Allow your faith to take you to greater heights through humility and fasting and prayer and a true desire to know. Going on in 1 Nephi 8:1-9, it says, and it came to pass that he saw one descending out of the midst of heaven, and he beheld that his luster was above that of the sun at noonday. And also saw 12 others following him, and their brightness did exceed that of the stars in the firmament. And they came down and went forth upon the face of the earth. So who did he see? Who was that? We know it was Jesus Christ that he saw and his disciples that would be there in Jerusalem to come. Going on in 1 Nephi 1, 10 through 12, Lehi is given a book to read. This personage that came down handed him a book. I believe that personage was Christ. And the first came and said before my father and gave unto him a book and bade him that he should read. And it came to pass that as he read, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And he read, saying, woe, woe unto Jerusalem, for I have seen thine abominations. Yea, and many things did my father read concerning Jerusalem, and that it should be destroyed, and the inhabitants thereof many should perish by the sword, and many should be carried away captive into Babylon. Now, some of this had already started, that captivity. Remember, Daniel and his people were already taken away. And so was Jeremiah and Ezekiel in 597. But there was more to come. Going on, Lehi gives glory to God. When he saw all these things and he read them, it was overwhelming to him. And he says in the 13th verse, and it came to pass that when my father had read and seen many great and marvelous things, he did exclaim many things unto the Lord, such as, great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God Almighty, thy throne is high in the heavens, and thy power and goodness and mercy are over all the inhabitants of the earth. And because thou art merciful, thou wilt not suffer those who come unto thee that they shall perish. He understood the love that God had for his children, that he had no desire for anyone to die. But as they continued to rebel, it left no other choice, because they would destroy the righteous. And he would not allow that to happen. And after this manner was the language of my father in praising his God, for his soul did rejoice, and his whole heart was filled because of the thing which he had seen, yea, which the Lord had shown unto him. So how do we relate this to our day? What have we been told as a church? We've had two different events. 9/11, one being that was one of the seals that was opened. The sixth seal. And we saw the evidence of it because of the things that took place, the events that occurred from that point in time to the time even now. And then we saw two. That seventh seal was open in Revelation, which changed all of our lives. Not only here in America, but throughout the world. And that little thing was called COVID. That power was grabbed by the powers to be to take more control over the lives of the children of men. Preparing for that day. And then what was the last thing we were told? To come out of Babylon. To prepare. That's no different than those prophets of old that were telling Jerusalem in all their activities, all the things they were involved in. Those prophets were telling them the same thing. God doesn't change. So what happened? Lehi was mocked by the Jews. 18 and 19. Therefore, I would that you should know that after the Lord has shown so many marvelous things unto my father Lehi, yea, concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, behold, he went forth among the people and began to prophesy and to declare unto them concerning the things which he had both seen and heard. So he took that information and he went into the streets of Jerusalem like Jeremiah had done and different ones. And it came to pass that the Jews did mock him like they did the others who had come before him because of the things which he had testified of them, telling them straight up, this is what the Lord's saying that you're doing wrong, you need to change. It was out of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. And love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. He obeyed the commandments. And out of love, he went to speak to them, to help them to understand what they were doing wrong, and that they would die if they didn't change. That's a serious thing. That is what we're talking about. That's life. It's not a fairy tale. The Jews mocked him. And so we see Christianity is being mocked today. Because we believe in Jesus Christ. And that we believe the prophecies. And we know we can follow those prophecies and see the time in which we live that is coming close to the return of our Savior. Lehi's testimony, 20 through 22. And he testified that the things which he saw and heard and also the things which he read in the book manifested plainly of the coming of the Messiah and also the redemption of the world. Isn't that what is in our heart and mind? Isn't that the things that we I hope and pray that we think about, that we want to be a part of that? If not in this life, the life to come? And when the Jews heard these things, they were angry with him. Yea, even as with the prophets of old, whom they had cast out, stoned, and slain. And they also sought his life, that they might take it away. We see some of this today. We were talking about it in Sunday school today. The tender mercies of God, the long suffering of God, as He tries to help people, the children of men, to understand where they're at and how they stand before him and what they can do, how they can change their lives to be a part of those beautiful promises or for those who are faithful. But behold, I, Nephi, will shew unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all them whom he hath chosen because of their faith. Make them mighty, even unto the power of deliverance. For behold, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto my father, yea, even in a dream. Now he had a vision, and now he has a dream. And saith unto him, blessed art thou, Lehi, because of the things which thou hast done. What did he do? And because thou hast been faithful and declared unto this people the things which I commanded thee, behold, they seek to take away thy life. What are we called to do when we've entered into the waters of baptism? To be a light to the children of men all around us. To help them to understand the things of the Lord. The things that we experience. To give our testimony. And it's out of our love for those that we talk to. That they might be a part as well. And be able to enjoy those beautiful blessings that we enjoyed and are enjoying. As we continue in 1 Nephi 1, 26 through 28, it says, "And it came to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even in a dream, that he should take his family and depart in the wilderness. And it came to pass that he was obedient unto the word of the Lord, wherefore he did as the Lord commanded him. And it came to pass that he departed into the wilderness." Now, Jerusalem on the map is way up here. And what we knew and understand, he was supposed to depart into the wilderness. They went to the Red Sea, which is way down here. And so it was getting away from all that was going on up in Jerusalem to protect him and his family and going into the wilderness. As you would continue to read in the story, how as it was recorded. So let's look at that, my title, Israel proverb, which was given in 592. Ezekiel is prophesying. This is when he was started to prophesy. 12:21-22. "And the word of the Lord came unto me." So this is in Babylon now, after he's been carried away. But he's prophesying. "Son of man, what is the proverb that you have in the land of Israel?" That was the question that the Lord was asking the children of Israel at the time. A proverb is, in some sense, origin. It's a superiority in mental action, meaning that because of your knowledge and understanding, you're going to give this good understanding through a proverb. And we know some of the examples where there are in the Bible. We know the book of Proverbs is full of it, that kind of a thing. But that word proverb could be a parable as well. So this is what it said. He says, "The days are prolonged." So this is the proverb that the Lord wants an answer. Why is Israel saying this? Okay? "What is the proverb that ye have in the land of Israel saying, the days are prolonged?" So why is Israel saying that? I have been sending my prophets, I've been trying to help you to understand what's going on and what I want you to do and what I intend to do. And you're hearing this proverb, "The days are prolonged." In John Gill, he rightly talks about this. It says, because of the Babylon captivity, and it had been going on for a while now, this 592 from 605, they were occupied, but life went on. Some people were carried away, different things, but they had a new king that was a Judean king. And things went on. They went ahead and did their own thing. And they didn't believe that those warnings that God had given them would come about in their day. Don't we see that today in our lives? Do we have some of the similar thoughts? "And every vision faileth." So when they lost their faith or were listening to other voices saying, that's nonsense. Because there were times, there were prophets that were saying other things. When they were to be banished for 70 years, there was another prophet that stood up and said, no, it's only going to be 2 years. And they accepted that because it sounded better. Okay? So that happens. And it's happening today as well. John Gill says, or perish, that's what faileth, or perish. Every prophecy comes to nothing. No one is fulfilled, at least because not at once. Therefore, they conclude it never would, or however hoped never would, and so pleased themselves and continued in their impenitence and unbelief and contempt of the prophecy. They wanted to do what they wanted to do, and forget about that. Do we see that attitude? When we try to help people understand that the Lord has really given us this beautiful time of grace to know that, to understand these things are not right, and that we need to make some changes in our own life, that we might be able to get closer to the Lord. As he continued in those verses, in verse 23 of the 12th chapter of Ezekiel, tell them therefore, this is what the Lord is going to say, I've heard this proverb from you guys, now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, the one that you're saying, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. Why? Because when it comes to pass, they're not going to be there. They're either going to be dead or they're going to be in exile. The very thing that they were told, because they would not repent. But say unto them, the days are at hand and the effect of every vision is meaning that every vision and dream that I've given my true prophets is going to be fulfilled in your day. For there shall be no more any vain visions nor flattering divinations within the house of Israel, those things that were always distractors to the true prophets. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. So I take it personally as something that I need to be aware of, that I can fall into this if I'm not careful. And this is the whole point that I believe the Lord has asked me to communicate to you all, that the Spirit might convict your hearts to say, yeah, that's right, I've seen that. I understand it. And I do need to consider it. So look at that. Shortly after that, 586, the very thing, the third wave of deportation, Jerusalem's walls and gates are burned with fire and destroyed. Then this Babylonian exile, Galut Bavel, began the and lasted until 538, which was that 70-year period of time that Israel will be cast into Babylon. It had been going on for a while, and it wasn't going to end until you heard another prophet speak about a man named Cyrus, a king. That was Isaiah. Very specific, way before anybody knew who a Cyrus would be, that would allow the exiles to return home according to the prophets. The end of the biblical first temple period. That was the end. So, what has God given us to help us in our life, to know the times and seasons, and to use them to our advantage, to keep us in line, to help us to be aware of the things that are going on in our life? Because we've seen the same thing. In Matthew, in the 24th chapter, we see Christ speaking, given a parable. In this 24th chapter, it says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And he had was talking to his disciples when they were sitting at the base of the temple. And the disciples wanted to know, and asked him the times and seasons, when these things would be destroyed. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not angels of the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So we see that the hand of God, the Father, and the Son working in unison in the things that were going to occur after his death and resurrection. We know he was talking earlier in this chapter about the temple being destroyed, which it was by the Romans. But he also talked about future generations for his return. And that's why he was saying, that day and hour no man knoweth, not even the angels, but my Father only. Then in Mark, we find that it's clarified even more, that day and hour not knoweth no man, not even the angels in heaven, neither the Son. He said the same thing up above, but my Father only, but he made it more plain, or at least it seems to be more plain here in Mark. Even not even Christ, but the Father. In that parable of fig tree, every one of them said, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And so he was speaking about a specific time. And in Luke, I talked about that the last time I stood before you. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, what, with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And so the day come upon you unawares. You get so wrapped up in life, all the things that come with life, you forget about the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. That he can be a part of your life and to help you during these days that we live. No matter when Christ comes. So what did it say? Christ said, he says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered that his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready for such an hour as you think not. The Son of Man will come. Remember, he said no one knows when he's going to come. So you're not going to have a specific date. But God is not going to be that esoteric in nature. He has sent his prophets and the different ones, even Christ himself. It gives you these earmarks of things in time. Even John the Revelator. We know that. We can follow it because of the things that have been fulfilled. The restoration of the church, the 14th chapter of Revelation, then 17th chapter of Revelation, the 18th chapter of Revelation, walking through the vista of time. We see where we're at in time and how close it is. And we see the things that are going on with Israel and the promises, if you know your words that have been written in the scriptures, it'll help you to see those things more clearly. That God is working a great work right now and preparing for that beautiful day when His Son will return. Watch ye therefore, in Mark 13, 35 through 37, therefore ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Now, the reason why I had this, I know it's kind of repetitious, but it touched my heart. Okay, even or in the evening, okay, midnight. We all know what midnight is, how it is at midnight. The cock crowing. Anybody that goes to a foreign country The cock crowing isn't in the morning, as it says here, or in the morning. It's between midnight and morning, in the middle of your sleep, 3 o'clock, 4, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, it's crowing. And Chris is laughing because she's heard it before. The chickens are either right outside the door or whatever. And this crazy rooster is howling. The master of the house, even at these times, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. That's our challenge. Not to be asleep. Not to be asleep spiritually. Spiritually. Of your own lives. And where you stand before your God. That's your challenge. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. These are the words of Christ. And then Luke in the 21st chapter, and this is, again, where he takes it to our dispensation of time. For as a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy like Lehi, and as he gave glory to the Lord. You remember how he got those visions and dreams, and he was told, and then he was told to leave because they wanted to kill you. I'm going to spare you. That's a type, becoming part of the millennial reign. His family was spared. You know the story. They had a new life and a new country, and God blessed them. Counted worthy to escape all these things, that they should come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. So the examples that we have to consider is the days of Noah. In Luke, the 17th chapter, 26 through 27. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and they drank and was married wives. They were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And all that time, Noah was preaching to them. All that time of that building, that was the grace of God extended to the children of men at that dispensation of time, that they might wake up and know what was going to happen. Whereas the days of Lot, likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat and they drank and bought and sold and planted and built. They continued their life and they continued their sins. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed or returns. The sign of Christ's return were given in Matthew and Mark. It's all the same. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. And that is an earmark, a prophetic earmark for us to follow. And we're in the midst of those days. Shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So we're right on the cusp of what he is speaking about here. Another sign. In Zechariah it says, so it's those days. Zechariah, the 14th chapter, 6 and 7, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day, the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day, which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light, or the return of Christ. One day. Remember the story. of Christ's birth and then Christ's resurrection, they were given those kinds of signs. 3 days of light and 3 days of darkness. You know? They were given the signs and they were able to see it. They were on the cusp of being killed, that the sign would not be given. But it came that morning. The prophet's warning voice in Revelation 18. This was given to the church. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Are we going to have a proverb like Israel did? It's not going to be in my time. I don't have to worry about it. Is that going to be our proverb, or are we going to listen to God's proverb and make those changes that we need to make within ourselves to be ready for whatever comes? Then my last slide here in the book of Isaiah in the 40th chapter, wait upon the Lord. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary. He's awake anytime you're ready to talk to him. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. It's not through our strength. It's through his strength that we are able to overcome all things through the blood of his Son. And to them that have no might, he increases the strength, even to endure death. Have you read in the news? Just recently, there was a whole group of Christians slaughtered because they believed in Christ. And they did not give it up to be saved. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, meaning they're going to be able to endure these things that are going to be coming that are in front of us, that have been foretold. And they shall walk and not faint. That's the promise. And it starts out, don't you know the power of God? If you don't, you need to, because that'll help you to understand the rest of the story. So may God bless us and help us in our struggle in life. And I pray that the Lord has impressed upon your heart the message that he gave to me the other day when I was working in my yard, and I told Gary I would preach this day. So may God bless you in these things. And I'm here to help as well, whatever it might be. May God bless you.